question for you. Be honest. Raise your hand. If you've testified to a lost person since we left here yesterday, raise your hand for me. Thank you. Thank you. God will take that seed and make it grow. Raise your hand. Keep it up. I didn't see it over here. Okay. Thank you. I was having breakfast this morning at a hotel, and I got the chance to... Gentleman was walking out of his room, so he's walking out. I said, "Hey, good morning. Where are you from?" He said, "Washington." I said, "Great. Can I ask you a question?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "If you died tonight, are you 100% assured you go to heaven?" Just kept walking with me. He said, "Well, I'm hesitating. I guess I'm not sure." We sat down at the breakfast table, began to talk. His name is Jay. He's here visiting from Washington. His daughter's a senior at Antioch. Came to visit his daughter before she graduates. We had a great talk over breakfast. Got a chance to tell him some good news. Got a chance to sign my book and give it to him. Why? Because I'm not going to testify about the Lord just in here. I'm going to testify for the Lord outside of here. Correct? Correct. Are you testifying about the Lord? Your choice if you want to do it. I was driving in yesterday and I turned on the Cedarville radio station, and there was somebody on there talking about going to see the Matrix Revolution, all right, and going to be like one of the first ones to see it and stuff like that. Because the comment she made was that she wanted to make sure that she didn't have other people tell her about the movie, but that she could what? Tell people about the movie that she saw. She wanted to be the first one to tell people about it. Interesting thought. And I wondered about that as I thought about that. I wonder how many times that I have the mindset that I want to walk out and I want to tell people first about Jesus Christ. That someone doesn't have to witness to my friends or my brothers or my dad that's not saved, that I've witnessed to my brothers and my dads who are not saved. Think about that for a second. I went to a county fair in Atlanta, Georgia. I was talking to two 25-year-old ladies there. About 30 minutes in the conversation, I just decided to ask a crazy question. "Can I ask y'all a question?" They said, "Yeah." 30 minutes into it now, I said, "Have you ever read from the Bible before?" They looked at each other. They said, "No." I said, "Have you ever heard about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins before?" They looked at each other and said, "No." 25 years old, Atlanta, Georgia. But I was going to testify. Sometimes the first time they hear might be for me. Don't you want to testify about that? Don't you? You might be the first one they hear about that, get the wheels spinning inside. Then you might be the 10th one. You might be the 100th one. The question is, will you be faithful or not? Matrix Revolution, okay? Think about how many of us are going to stand in front of the throne of God if we died today and we actually saw more movies than we actually witnessed to lost people. I used to be one of those, not anymore. Revolution. What's the word revolution mean? Revolution means an overthrow of the current government, okay? Not talking Washington, D.C. here, okay? Who's known as the prince of the power of the air? Who's known as that in the Bible? Satan is prince of the power of the air. Don't we need an overthrow of the current government, don't we? Don't we? Oh, yes, we do. We need a revolution of the highest regard, okay? But watch something very simple. There will not be a revolution in America, okay, until there's a revolution inside the churches and the Christian colleges and universities around America. Is that correct? That is correct. Now watch this statement, okay? There will not be a revolution inside this room until there's a revolution inside here. Has that revolution happened inside of you yet? That revolution happens, you're going to walk out of here so radically obedient to God's word and his Bible that you're not going to care what people think about you. Has that revolution happened to you yet? You see, in order to have a revolution, you must have one thing. It's called a revolutionary. There must be somebody that says, that's it. No matter what the cost, no matter what it's going to cost me, no matter what my friends are going to say. When I started getting serious about this a few years ago, some of my relatives went to my parents and said, "Hey, Mark's not becoming one of those Jesus freaks, is he?" My mama told me. I said, "Mama, go ahead and tell him, yes, I am." Okay? I don't answer to my relatives when I die. I go one-on-one with God when I die. Don't you want a revolution? You want a revolution? I want a revolution. It's not going to happen until we decide it's going to happen. Has that happened inside you yet? There's something so biblical is going to happen on this campus, only God can get the credit for it. Wouldn't you want that to happen? Wouldn't you want that to happen? Wouldn't you want Cedarville to be known for that? Decide there's going to be a revolution inside of you. Make sure everything that's nasty inside you is repented of. Ask God to clean you out and ask him to stand you up as we were singing and testify about this Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, when that revolution about to happen inside of you, it's going to get fun down here. It's going to get a lot of fun. I taught at a Christian high school. I left the Christian high school. 2 years later, the seniors at the Christian high school put up a sign-up sheet in the office of the school for all the ninth graders to sign up on this sheet. We have one big music festival in that town, and what the seniors were doing was taking all the ninth graders out, and we're going to teach them how to share their faith in Jesus Christ. That a sign-up sheet where they all signed up for a certain hour they were going to go witnessing at. I'd been gone for 2 years. Someone called me in Atlanta and told me that I had these huge tears welled up in my eyes. I could not believe these seniors had done it. But you know what? It hit me real quick. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with God. Isn't that, wouldn't that be a nice legacy to live here? Don't you want to leave that legacy? Choice is yours. Okay? Revolution is your choice. Dare to be a revolutionary. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just a great chance to be here and testify about your name. Father God, draw Jay to you, that gentleman I talked with this morning. Father God, just put your spirit so strong on him. Father God, he wants eternal truth more than he wants relative truth. Draw him, Father God. I thank you for that appointment right there. I got a chance to talk to him. Now, Father God, glorify your name in his life and draw him to you. And Father, we thank you for that. And we do. And we ask in the great, great name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, when you're sharing your faith in Jesus Christ, there's something real simple you have to talk about with everybody, okay? And it's called sin, okay? You got to talk about it. Here's how you talk about it. Watch a couple pictures here. Do you know who Chris Farley is? Do you know who he is? Y'all know who Chris Farley is? Okay. Chris Farley making a statement, this sure is better than a van down by the river, okay? Interesting statement. And he's making a statement, this is sure better than a van down by the river. Now, that's a quote from what skit? Motivational speaker skit, okay? And he was telling people to go to the van down by the river, because if you go to the van down by the river, what were they doing in the van down by the river? What were they doing? Okay, they were smoking. You watched it. Go ahead and say it. What were they smoking? They were smoking pot. They were smoking weed. Because if you have a problem in your life, go to the van down by the river, smoke some marijuana, and everything will be A-okay. Is that a true statement? Not a true statement. The Bible says in Matthew 24, in the end times, be careful of deception. Watch this. Help me out here. Speak up, please. That's the light of who? The light of who? God. Those are what? The assumption is when he died, he went to heaven when he died. See, the assumption, why would you assume that? He died at 33 years old in a hotel room in Chicago from a drug and alcohol overdose. Why would you assume that? Because the world's trying to tell you, since we do not have a biblical worldview anymore in our country, the world's trying to tell you, as long as you're what type of person, you're going to go to heaven. What type? A good person. You get heaven when you walk out of here. Okay? September 11th, very emotional. Tombstone, young boy, his daddy died, a fireman. Mom, wife died on that day. Fire truck, fire ladder goes to heaven. The assumption is all the firemen on that day, where'd they go? Heaven. True statement? Not true. Be careful of deception in the end times. Dale Earnhardt. Do you know who Dale Earnhardt is? Do y'all know what NASCAR is? You do? Okay. I just spoke in Minnesota. They had no clue. Okay. They had no clue. And so we're actually giving them back to Canada real soon. And but we're... down south, we like to worship cars that drive in circles for a really long time, okay? And Dale Earnhardt is probably the most famous driver. He died about a year and a half ago at the Daytona 500. Gates of heaven, hand of God. God getting Dale Earnhardt's autograph had a small problem. So you could put a big B right there. It would stand for what? That's blasphemous to think God wants your autograph. You want his autograph in the Lamb's Book of Life, or it ain't worth having. Think about that. The same man who wrote this, Mike Lukovich, he did one by Princess Diana, very, very similar, okay? I emailed him. I said, Mike, I said, when everybody dies, Mike, do they all go to heaven, Mike? Does anybody go to hell, Mike? And what's the separating factor in between there, Mike? Mike didn't email me back, but that's his choice. My choice is to plant the seed to get him to think about that, okay? George Harrison, John Lennon, George Harrison of the Beatles died recently. You passed the audition, I see. Interesting, like it was a guitar audition to be right to get to heaven when it's all said and done. John Lennon was famous for the statement that the Beatles are bigger than who? Jesus Christ. Isn't that an interesting statement? The day he died, he stood in front of who he thought he was bigger than. George Harrison, when he died, his big solo hit was My Sweet Lord. My Sweet Lord. So I looked it up on the internet. I looked up the lyrics. My Sweet Lord. Then it went Hallelujah, Hallelujah, which means praise to Yah, praise to Yahweh. I kept digging into the song. It said Hare, Hare, Hare what? Krishna. Kept digging a little bit bigger, started talking about Vishnu, one of the gods of Hinduism. He was a devout Hindu. I just got an article from Rolling Stone 20 years ago, and George Harrison said in the article, he said, what I was doing was playing a pop sound to draw people in. Careful now. He said, I was using Christian lyrics to draw who in? Christians in, so I could teach them about my God and my belief in Hinduism. Deception of the highest regard. Careful, young people, okay? But look at this. There's the drum kit. Okay, that's for who? Ringo Starr. There's the middle microphone. That's for who? Paul McCartney. So the assumption is when all of them die, they all go to heaven because they're what type of people? What type of people? Good people. Careful. Okay, now watch this, okay? Watch what your Bible says. Romans 3, 19 and 20. If I mention Romans 3, the first verse that comes to mind is Romans chapter 3, verse what? 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, I'm a real simple, basic person, okay? I need some definitions. What does the word sin mean, okay? If you dig into the Greek, it means missing the mark. So if you had a standard, you missed off to the side, all right? Well, I'm still a simple person. What's the mark? Very simple statement as life continues, young people and adults, okay? Remember a simple statement. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. Your answers are usually in there. You have to dig in there, and it'll interpret itself. Okay, don't always assume people with microphones and doctors and professors have the right answers. We don't always. God does have the right answer always. Watch what this says just a few verses before. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So if I want the knowledge of sin, if I know what this law is, I've got it. Real simple, okay? Romans 7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. Now, wait a minute. If the law says you shall not covet, where do you find you shall not covet in the Bible? Where? It's the 10th of the 10 commandments, okay? And remember, in Jewish tradition, they had about 613 laws, but it at least is referring to those 10 right there, okay? 10th of the 10 commandments. Now, I'm also a very simple person, all right? In the first five books of the Bible, God repeats the 10 commandments twice in the first five books, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And all I know is I didn't learn when I was growing up, when my mama said something twice, she did it for a very specific reason. What was that reason? Son, don't you dare forget, okay, or you're in trouble. Okay, if God put it twice in the first five books, I think he's trying to tell you something, okay? Now watch how this goes together, and we'll show you how it works, okay? Galatians says, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Interesting. The law, that at least the Ten Commandments, was our tutor. Your Bible might say schoolmaster, pedagogue, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Interesting. The world wants to be justified by what? Works, exactly. But if I use the law of God correctly, it will carry people to Jesus Christ and they'll be justified by faith. Watch how it works. I was at a concert in Atlanta and I was walking, we're outside talking to people, witnessing and stuff. And then, I was going down the escalators and there was these five college kids from the College of Charleston. So we just started talking and began to witness to them and stuff. And we got to the point of, hey, they said, hey, what does it take to go to heaven? I said, have you heard of the Ten Commandments? They said, yeah. I said, that's how you tell. They said, okay. I said, you ever told a lie before? They said, yeah. I said, what does that make you? Well, it makes us a sinner. I said, no. I said, more specifically, what does it make you? If someone murders, they're a murderer. If you rape, you're a rapist. If you tell a lie, what does that make you? A liar. And they said, a liar. I said, you ever stole something before? They said, yeah. I said, what does that make you? They said, a thief. I said, have you ever lusted in your heart before? They said, yeah. I said, Jesus said, the same as committing adultery. He will check your insides as well as your outsides. Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain before? They said, yeah. I said, what is that? I said, that's blasphemy. I said, you ever been angry at someone before? They said, yeah. I said, the same as murder, Jesus says. He will check your thoughts as well as your actions. And watch what you do. I said, you five folks just told me that you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, an adulterer, and a murderer by God's standard. I said, would you be guilty or not guilty on judgment day? What'd they say? Guilty. I said, would that mean heaven or would that mean hell? What'd they say? They said, hell. All of a sudden, one of the young men said, wait a minute, stop. We were walking. He said, stop. You stop right now. He said, you tell me right now what it takes for me not to be guilty on judgment day. I want to know right now, do I have to go to church to do this? You stop and tell me right now what I have to do. Think about that for a second. Because what's the law do? It carries you right to what? The cross. He wanted the answer. He so desperately wanted that answer to that question now that he had it. Because the law carries you to why they need Jesus Christ. If you walk out of here and just share Jesus Christ with people, guess what? They hear you, but I was a lost guy. I got saved at 25. If you keep telling me about Jesus Christ, my mind goes, well, why can't I commit my heart to Muhammad? Why can't I do it to Buddha? Why can't I do it to Confucius? Why can't I? But if you tell me through the law why I'm a complete, total pagan sinner, guess what now? Only one thing in all the religions can cleanse me of that sin. And what is that? What is that? That's that blood of Jesus Christ you sing about, but the question is, will I carry it out of here and do that? 4 weeks ago, I was in Orlando, Florida, speaking at a big Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting, and I was speaking at this meeting, and I found out that Charles Barkley and Tiger Woods were in town filming a golf commercial for Nike, and I didn't have Charles' number with me. I left it in Atlanta, and so I was like, I'd like to go over there and kind of hang out. And so I was like, how is this going to work? I said, well, I'll just show up. And so I drove over there, and you just don't show up at things like that. So I began to pray as I went over there and said, Father, I said, if you want me in this place, you better start moving some mountains because I have to get in here, okay? And it's up to you. I can't do anything now. So I drove up to this Grand Cypress Resort, this big resort in Orlando, because I found out where it was. So I drove up there, pull up the security gate, and this guy walks in my car. Can I help you? Yeah. Hey, is Charles Barkley here? I'm meeting him here for the commercial shoot that he's doing. Is he here? And he said, Charles Barkley? I said, yeah. And we used to room together on road trips at Auburn University, so we're friends and stuff. And he said, Charles Barkley? I said, yeah. He said, he just left. I said, he left? Where did he go? He went over to the country club where they're going to film the commercial. I said, oh, no. All of a sudden, a lady walked over the other security and picks up a telephone. I knew what she was doing. She was going to check the list to see who's on the security list, and I'm not on it, and I know that, okay? I said, ma'am, excuse me, ma'am. Hey, yes, ma'am, you. Can you come here for a second, please? Yes. And I said, what's your name? She said, Sean. I said, Sean, can I ask you a question? She said, yeah. I said, Sean, if you died tonight, I said, are you 100% assured you're going to heaven? She said, you bet I am. I said, Sean, how do you know that to be true? This woman began to preach at me. Okay, I mean, she was like, whoa. I mean, she teaches Bible study. She was just witnessing, testifying, man. She was going for it because she had her opportunity, and she was witnessing. I said, whoa, Sean, wait a minute. You like to read? She said, yeah. And I said, I just wrote a book, and I pulled one out of the backseat of this rental car. I said, you wrote a book? You signed it, gave it to her and stuff. All of a sudden, the other guy, Joe, the security guard, comes over, and he said, hey, I want your book. As I was talking with him, he's lost as all get out. Watch how God works things sometimes. And put a track and then talk with Joe. All of a sudden, she said, follow me. I'll take you where you want to go. I said, okay, awesome. All right. And so we drive out of there. I follow behind her. We start driving. We drive over through all this security. And then, boom, she just drops him off right in front of where they have all the trailers and stuff to do the commercial. So I walk up to a guy and said, hey, what hole are those guys on? I'm supposed to go meet these guys for the commercial. What hole are they on? He said, what hole are they on? So they haven't started yet. I said, well, here's Charles Barkley here. I'm here to see him. Charles Barkley? I said, yeah. He said, it was in this trailer right here. I said, okay. So he goes up and opens the door. So I walk in the trailer. Charles, how you doing, man? And so we just, you know, hug and hang out. And we're sitting in there, and his agent's in there, and some other people in there. Well, all of a sudden, we're hanging out. And this guy walks in, 65 years old, long silver hair down to here, big, strong guy. Walks in, shakes his hand. He's sitting around, and he sits down. He's the director of the commercial. All of a sudden, I figured out who he was. I saw a special on this guy. He's the most famous commercial director in the world, okay? He, in the Super Bowl, you know, it's known for the commercials of the Super Bowl. He had four or five commercials in the Super Bowl last year. I mean, he's big time, okay? So he's sitting around and said, hey, what do you do? Hey, what do you do? Then he went, hey, what do you do? Pointed at me. I said, well, I'm here in Orlando speaking for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I'm a professional speaker, travel the country, speak, stuff like that. He said, you're not one of those, are you? Threw his hand like that and began talking to somebody else, okay? Isn't it amazing when you're going to start standing up for the Lord that Satan's not going to sit by and just and say, watch, hey, good job. He's not going to do that, is he? No, be ready for the enemy. All of a sudden he came back and said, what do you think about the movie The Passion? And I said, well, a friend of mine just saw it. And I began to talk about it. He flipped his hand at me, started going over here. Then he came back and said, who's the most anti-Jewish person that's ever walked on the planet? He just kept firing questions. What was funny was, as he kept firing questions at me, there were three other people in the room besides Charles that claimed the name of Jesus Christ, and they sure weren't speaking up a whole lot, were they? Okay, he's like, okay, beat up the tall, skinny guy. Okay, go ahead. And I was sitting there, man. Come on, help me out. And so all of a sudden, the commercial guy stood up and said, I want to play you in some basketball. I said, you what? I said, I want to play you in some basketball. I said, dude, I'm 41, man, knee operations. I don't play anymore. I don't do this stuff anymore. He said, I have no cartilage in my legs. I'm 65. We're playing right now. Okay. He starts walking out of the trailer. So I just start following. I just got on the internet. I just got his address because I'm going to write him a letter and send him a book and stuff. And I come to find out he's well known for holding up entire commercials so he can play basketball. Tiger Woods' assistant had already been in there and said, hey, Tiger's ready to shoot this commercial. We're out there playing basketball. So we're shooting, and he throws me the ball. So he says, start playing. Well, I'm playing. He's bowing me. He's hitting me. So I'm backing him down. I was like, well, it's a captive audience. So, well, hey, Joe, question for you, man. When you die, you have any clue where you're going to? I'm just playing. And so we start talking during the game. And I go, Joe, you ever told a lie before, Joe? Oh, you shouldn't have done that, Joe. And, you know, I'm just like, so I'm witnessing to him. So finally I get to the end of it, and I said, Joe, I'm about to put you out of your misery. Yes, hit that shot. Beat him. And it's always fun to beat up on 65-year-olds. And he put the ball down and just, boom, left. Went to the commercial. So we go over there and stuff. So we're over there hanging out and stuff. All of a sudden, Charles introduced me to Tiger. Tiger walked by, shook my hand, walked away. Thanks, Tiger. And so he just walked away. So they're doing this commercial shoot. So, like, I just don't like to hang there, so I like to do stuff. So all of a sudden, there was a guy standing there, so I walked over to him. Hey, how you doing? What's your name? Richard. Great, Richard. What are you doing here? He said, I'm Tiger Woods' body double. I said, excuse me? He said, I'm Tiger Woods' body double. What do you do, his stunts? It's a commercial. I mean, what do you mean, his body double? He said, you ever see a commercial where Tiger Woods' hand's on a bag? It's not Tiger's hand, it's Richard's hand, okay? If you ever see a shot like 100, 200 feet away of Tiger, it's not Tiger, it's Richard. And I said, he just got a $150 million contract with Nike and he can't do a hand shot? I mean, come on now. I was like, so he started talking, began to witness to him, grew up in church in Mississippi, but he's drifted away from the truth. Can that happen to some of us in this room? Maybe it's already happened to some of you, okay? Walked over, got in a talk with Vince Coleman, the baseball player with the New York Mets, St. Louis Cardinals. Got in a talk with him. His three best friends are Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, and Charles Barkley. They all four hang out and play golf together. And I'd met him before at Charles' house. So I said, I began to witness to him. He says, I go to church every single Sunday back in Phoenix. I said, well, I got a question for you, Vince. You go to church every single Sunday, but my question is, do you want to see Tiger, Michael, and Charles in heaven? He said, yes. I said, well, Vince, what are you going to do about it? It's one thing to want to see him in heaven, correct? It's another ball game to do something about that. So I said, I just wrote a book. I had some cargo pants on. I pulled the book out. I wrote this book. I said, hey, where's your business card? I'll send you a copy. He said, I want your book. I said, no, I only had two copies, one for Tiger, one for someone else, and my car was somewhere else. I said, where's your business card? He said, I want your book right now. Okay? It's a God thing. I'm learning. Okay? And so I signed this book. He just, his first day in Orlando, got there, and he got to Orlando. He just signed on with the Atlanta Braves to be their base running instructor. And so his first day in Orlando, he said, I'm going to my hotel room at 5 o'clock and I've got nothing to do. I'll probably read your entire book tonight, okay? And I said, Vince, maybe the whole reason I'm here is just so you, okay, are going to stand up with these other people and go for it, okay? I thought I was going to witness Tiger. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. All of a sudden, the commercial shoot ends. Everyone's going to them and get their autograph. Tiger had a little bit more to do. Charles was done. I walk up to Tiger. There's a guy getting his autograph. All of a sudden, he walks away. It's like God parted the Red Sea. Me and Tiger are standing right there. I said, Tiger, I said, I just wrote a book. I wanted to sign a copy and give it to you. It's your assistant here that I can give it to. No, but give it to that lady right over there. She'll get it. I said, okay. We start walking off the tee box. All of a sudden, I began to clam up, began to get nervous. Does that happen to any of you when you're about to share your faith? Does it happen to you? Okay. I sweat too. Okay. Don't worry. Okay. I get nervous too. For two solid months, I've been praying for a chance to witness to Tiger Woods. He's been on my heart. Totally on my heart. And here's my opportunity. I'm about to wimp out of the whole thing. I just felt God. I didn't hear nothing. I just felt God lay on my spirit. Mark, you've been praying for it. Go for it. I said, Tiger. I said, you know, I've always wanted to ask you a question. He said, go for it. I said, Tiger. I said, when you die, I said, what do you think's on the other side? What do you think's out there when you walk out? He stopped dead square in his tracks, stared up at me and said, I don't know. I said, Tiger, I said, you know, I said, whether it's Payne Stewart dying, he was at Payne Stewart's funeral a couple of years ago. I said, whether it's John Ritter dying or Johnny Cash dying, we all think about these things, don't we? He starts nodding his head. I said, did you hear the story that happened to Charles Barkley's brother? He said, no. I said, true story, Tiger. Charles Barkley's brother had a heart attack and died, but he came back. You heard about near-death experiences, white lights and tunnels, people see? Not what he saw. Flat line, spirit rose up, he could see the flat line. He took off to the waiting room. He can tell you who was in the waiting room, what they were saying, what they were wearing when he was clinically flatlined. Okay, this cannot be in his head. This must be an external event. Took off on a journey. All of a sudden, he saw trees on fire, ground smoldering around the trees. He saw a lake of fire in front of him when he died. I said, Daryl, what'd you see, dude? He said, I saw hell. I said, God, you saw hell, man. He will tell you to this day what he saw is more real than this chapel is right here. Your senses work to the nth degree. He said, you could feel the heat coming off that lake of fire. I have met 7 different people that got the hell experience and not the heaven experience when they died. I told that story to Tiger, which, you know, Tiger's got big eyes. Well, they went, whoop, they doubled, man. They were like, whoa, okay. I said, Tiger, here's how to tell where you go. I said, you ever, you heard of the Ten Commandments? He said, yeah. I said, you ever told a lie before? He said, yeah. I said, what does that make you? He just blurts out, a liar. Isn't that true for all of us, though? I said, Tiger, you ever stole something before? He said, yeah. All of a sudden, I looked at his face, and he was getting edgy. I thought I was going to lose the conversation because the law is written on your what? Your heart and your conscience. And I was already inside his business, so I just answered it for him. I said, Tiger, it makes all of us a thief. You ever lusted in your heart before? He said, yeah. Same as adultery, according to Jesus. I said, you ever been angry at somebody? Same as murder. Check your thoughts as well as your actions. Tiger, you just told me you're a liar, a thief, an adulterer, and a murderer by God's standard. Would you be guilty or not guilty on Judgment Day? Tiger Woods looked at me and said, guilty. I said, would that mean heaven or would that mean hell? He said, probably hell. All of a sudden, as he said the answer, all of a sudden a guy walked up and said, Tiger, would you sign this for me? And we got to go to the other hole and finish the shoot. Tiger starts walking off the tee box. My conversation's over, okay? Walked up to him. I said, hey, I'll pull my book out. I'm going to sign this for you. I'll give it to your assistant. And just remember where I stopped at. That's where repentance in Jesus Christ comes in. Bingo, gone. Okay? I get in my car. I'm driving to Tampa, Florida to visit my brother. I pick up my cell phone. I call some friends in Atlanta, and I tell them I just witnessed a tiger, and it's this very famous person's Bible study, a guy I know at it, Jeff Foxworthy, a lot of the Falcons, John Smoltz from the Braves. So I told him. He goes and tells the Bible study Thursday. A guy there is Mike Smoltz. Mike Smoltz is the younger brother, John Smoltz, the pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. He goes home and tells John Smoltz, guess what? John Smoltz and Tiger Woods are very good friends. They play golf together all the time. Uh-oh. Watch out. When John Smoltz heard the story, he was excited, but he was very disappointed. What was he disappointed about? It's his friend. What was he disappointed about? That he had not taken the time to do it. I'm not his friend. I want to see Tiger in heaven, though. But it so challenged him that next week, Tiger was in town for a golf tournament. On Monday night, John Smoltz and his wife took Tiger and his girlfriend out for dinner, and John Smoltz got to finish the whole conversation where I ended up at. Think about that for a second. The very next night at the Braves game, Tiger's girlfriend walked up to Mrs. Smoltz and said, hey, I have a question for you. How often do y'all go to church? Bingo. Okay, all of a sudden, everyone in the box starts talking about God and the Bible and Jesus Christ. A senior at Georgia Tech told me, he said, Mark, think about this. When you throw a pebble in the water, what happens? You get the little ripple effect. He said, Mark, think about this. If you wouldn't have been, what, obedient in sharing your faith a week before, you couldn't have called the guy in the Bible study. It couldn't have got to, okay, Mike Smoltz. It couldn't have got to John Smoltz. He wouldn't have followed up, and we'd be at the same point we're at today. See, it's an issue of obedience or what? Disobedience, just like we talked about yesterday. Do you think I'm glad I witnessed a tiger? Think I'm glad? Very glad. Don't regret it at all. Do you think I would regret it if I didn't do it? I'd still regret it to this day. I have a website called markcahill.org, and the October newsletter is the whole tiger. There's more to it than that. Then the November one was the whole follow-up, okay? Now, if you didn't get a book yesterday and you want a book, raise your hand up for me, okay? All right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send about probably about 8 more cases of books I received. If you go to the website, okay, don't order a book off there. You're going to scare my shipper who sends these out. It's just a guy sitting over there in a house, and you're going to scare him if all you order books, so don't do it, okay? I'll send them up here. I'll get them shipped tomorrow. They'll be up here probably Wednesday of next week, okay? Then if there's not enough, you go to markcahill.org and do that. Okay, last thing as I walk out of here, okay? Do me 3 things. Pray for Joe Pitka. He was the big, rough guy who was the commercial director. He's been so on my heart. I've been praying for this guy, okay? Pray for Tiger Woods that veil finally will be lifted. I'm finding about other people who have been witnessing to him now, okay? But pray for John Smoltz and Tiger Woods that their friendship's going to stay so close that God's going to show him favor as he stands up for that, okay? Last thing, I go on an airplane in just a little bit. I fly to Atlanta. I'm speaking at a conference this weekend with Norm Geisler and Kirby Anderson, all these big folks. I'm not sure how I got on that list, but I'm pretty excited. And speaking twice tomorrow in Atlanta, twice on Saturday. Tomorrow night, my father's coming to hear me speak for the very first time. My dad's never heard me speak before, and he's lost. And I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm scared. I don't know if he's going to walk out, walk in. I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm real excited. So my dad's name is John, so if you think about it, if you could pray for that, I'd just love to see the Lord lift the veil from his eyes. Every second, 7 people die. By the time you put your head on your pillow tonight, over 600,000 people walked off into eternity. Heaven or hell as we speak, Cedarville. Simple, simple question. Do you care? Much tougher question, though. Do you care enough to do something about it? One more time, if you feel comfortable, verbally respond. Every second, 7 people die. Over 600,000 people walk off planet Earth today. By the time you put your head on your pillow, simple question. If you feel comfortable, just respond to it, okay? Do you care?
Yes.
Okay. Much tougher one, though, okay? Do you care enough to do something about it?
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. After talking with some of you yesterday and just hanging out for the last couple of days, I really feel you do. 3 words of advice. Go for it. Don't look back. No regrets on Judgment Day. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this college and this university. Holy Spirit, start a revolution on this campus that when it's all said and done, your name will be glorified. And Father God, if we have 3,000 folks and professors testifying your name in here and testifying your name outside of here, watch out, Ohio. Here they come. And Father, we thank you for it. And we ask in the great name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.